Welcome to episode 6 of the 210 Feet Podcast, a podcast about the world of U.S. soccer, specifically the MLS and the U.S. men's national team. I am Robbie Knight, joined by my co-host, like always, Colin Manning. We have a full slate of topics for you today, but first, how's it going, Colin?
Pretty good, Robbie. How about you?
Not bad. I've had a crazy week, but you know, it's good. We start school in a couple of weeks, which I'm not looking forward to.
Yeah, for real.
At all, but I guess it is what it is.
Hey, we got broadcasting together, so that'll be fun.
It's your senior year too.
Are you excited? I know, it's crazy. I'm excited. I don't have a fourth period at all, so don't know what I'm gonna do during that time period. But yeah,
I told my counselor I had an open period and I was hopeful that it would be second semester, fourth period, but it's second semester, first period, which is not what I wanted.
Yeah. But so you get to sleep in though, at least that's a pro.
Yeah. But I guess I'd rather be out early.
Yeah. Me too. That's how I feel.
Because like, knowing how I operate, I'm going to mess up and I'm going to sleep in on the A day and not the B day.
Fair enough.
Anyway, over the past week, MLS has had a busy week. A week ago today, that was Wednesday. Well, same difference.
About a week ago.
Tomorrow, we're filming this on Tuesday. Last Wednesday, the MLS had their All-Star game against the Liga MX All-Star at Allianz Field in Minneapolis. It was a 2-1 win for the MLS over Liga MX off of goals from Carlos Vela and Raul Ruiz Diaz, a penalty from Ruiz Diaz. Goal for Liga MX was from Alvarez in the 85th minute, just kind of a garbage time goal. I did not watch the game because I was busy. You watched the game. Was it entertaining at least?
It was pretty entertaining. After Vela scored in the fourth minute, I was like, oh, here we go again. Like last year's All-Star game was like, I think it was 1-1 or something. It went to penalties and the MLS won. And after Vela scored in the fourth minute, I'm like, oh no, here we go. It's just going to be like 5-6, a bunch of goals, not competitive. But as they started to get into the rhythm of the game, it felt like you were just watching a normal soccer game, like full challenges, especially from Liga MX side. Because Mexico has been let down a lot in the past, I don't even know how many months, 12 months, 18 months.
I would say the last 18 months have been rough for Mexican soccer.
Yeah, exactly. Mexican soccer. And I think they really want to win this game. And the MLS just came out, outperformed them, was more aggressive off the ball. And we got a 2-1 win for MLS. I think that's what's really cool about it is that this rivalry, it helps the players actually perform. And like, instead of like NBA or NFL, where they're just kind of like going out there for fun. Obviously, you don't want anyone to get injured. Like Carlos Hill he went down for a little bit and everyone was a little worried that he actually got injured, but he was able to come back on the field, just took a little knock. But overall, it was really fun to watch like them playing in an actual game, if that makes sense, rather than just garbage.
I think so. From everything I've seen, you know, everyone seemed to think it was pretty good. I don't really have anything else. I didn't watch it, so I was just kind of going off of whatever you said was going on. I do like how it was friendly style, and they basically, kind of like the MLB All-Star game, just substituted the entire everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
By the looks of things. But yeah, I think that's you know, kind of what you want to do. Don Garber came out and said, I don't know if it was before or after the actual game, but somewhere around in the whole All-Star festivities, said that this would probably not continue. Match between Liga MX and MLS would probably not continue for at least next year due to the expanded Leagues Cup, which will take up a month of this season. But he said they are exploring different options for the future of the All-Star game. What, I guess, in your personal opinion, what do you think, what would you like to see out of the MLS All-Star Game? Because in the past, they've done a variety of different formats for the past couple of years. They've done the Liga MX's, they've done the Liga MX's versus MLS All-Stars. They've done just kind of a wide variety. They've done
Played other clubs
versus different European teams. Like they've played, it's been just 2 years they've done the Elite versus the Liga MX All-Stars. For a long period of time, from 2005 to 2019, they played against different European sides in what was the European preseason, like against Manchester United and Chelsea and Real Madrid and Juventus.
Yeah, for sure.
Which certainly made for an interesting thing. And then they used to play against just an East versus West format, like most teams or like most leagues do.
Yeah.
But I guess it doesn't even have to be one out of one of those formats. What do you think would be the most entertaining format for this game?
I've thought about this actually. I just don't want to go back to the playing European clubs because I feel like it's not as much to fight for, especially for the European clubs. It's their preseason. They don't want to get injured either, stuff like that. So it's just not as exciting, even though it's cool having these big names come. It's just not exciting. It doesn't add that competitive aspect with the playing Liga MX. I really like that because it added that competitive aspect between like the rivalries between the leagues. Right. So I'd be okay if that somehow stuck around, but I like the idea of East versus West again. It gives more players opportunities to play in the All-Star game, first of all, because it's two teams from the MLS. I really like that. I think that's probably one of the main options, but I also think they should explore something like kind of like the NBA does, where the fans vote and the two players who get the most votes are like the captains, and then they pick from the pool of players. I like that format a lot, and I think that's a really cool way to kind of spread out, introduce players to different teams, and that's not just stuck East versus West, even though sometimes it is hard to choose a side to cheer for if you have players on each team that you like.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think so. I mean, I think personally for me, like, I think the Liga MX versus MLS All-Stars is certainly an interesting concept, but I feel like at some point you're going to reach the point where you kind of tire that out because of the League's Cup expanding. I think you kind of have a point where you kind of lose something when you have it be versus the European side, because you don't really get the best European side or the best team that they have to offer. I think that, you know, East versus West is interesting. They used to do one time, they did a, in 1998, they did an MLS USA versus MLS World format, which to me looks like they had the US players play against like the international players, which is interesting. It was a 6-1 win for MLS USA.
I think it'd go the other way now.
Yeah, I think it might go the other way. But I think there is a kind of variety of different formats they could use.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think they should, no matter what, they should keep the skills challenge, because that's something that's really entertaining for the fans. Yep. And it seems fun for the players just watching them try to hit the crossbar, things like that, like games that we're used to playing in our backyards or out on our own. It's fun watching players from the US play like that. I want them to bring back goalie wars like officially, because they were playing it with MLS Next Pro teams keepers this year, and they weren't broadcasting it or anything. But next year, I think if they broadcast that, it would get a lot of attention and stuff like that.
I certainly agree. I think that the skills challenge should stay. I think that they're probably going to end up going with like an interleague all-star game with only MLS players. I don't know how that's going to end up looking. It'll probably be East versus West. Yeah. It still is a fun concept just to kind of get everybody out there. And for players like Raul Ruiz Diaz, that gave him an opportunity to play in a somewhat competitive match while he's coming back from injury. So I think that's always, you know, kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree about that.
Alrighty. Now we can move to to the past weekend in MLS. A ton of goals scored, like
once again
a couple of weekends ago. some big results being like 4-3 for Austin over Kansas City.
That was a crazy game.
Over San Jose. 3-2 for Montreal away at Houston. 5-2 Galaxy over Vancouver. 5-0 for LAFC over Charlotte. It was kind of, you know, some big results. Cincinnati and Atlanta went 2-2. The one I really want to talk about right now, though, is Philadelphia 4-1 at home against Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago, it was kind of rising up the standings. They still are only 3 points out of the playoffs. But Philadelphia now, 5 points up in the East ahead of Montreal, 48 points to 43 points. New York City, NYCFC was 42 and third. Philadelphia, though, certainly an interesting team. They've had some really big results this year.
For sure.
Like they've had some big wins. They beat Houston 6-0. They beat DC 7-0. Is this a team? Is Philly kind of the best in the East, you think?
Yeah. I mean, they're right now currently 5 points clear of Montreal in the East. I think they've established themselves as the top of the East. They've only lost 3 times this year. I don't see how they don't win the Eastern Conference, obviously. Maybe Montreal or City can have some sort of way to pass them. But other than that, I think that Philly has really established themselves as a team who brings players up from the academy as well. And just finds ways to score. And Jim Curtin, I believe, is running the team over there really well. And I believe that if it doesn't go well for Greg Berhalter this winter in Qatar, then I think that he'll be one of the people next up in line to take over the U.S. men's national team job. But yeah, he's done really well with Philly for the past few years. Obviously, I think they were second in the West. I mean, in the East last year behind New England. And yeah, I see Philly as a top of the East. Obviously, anything can happen in the playoffs, and they've been unlucky the past few years in the playoffs and haven't been able to reach that final that they wanted to, or haven't been able to get the Supporter Shield title that they wanted. But yeah, I think they're a really solid club. I think they still would rank below the likes of LAFC and probably even Austin. But other than that, I think Philly is the best team in the East.
I think so. I think kind of quietly Montreal has played into second. And I think it's a strong second position now because NYCFC doesn't have hockey.
For sure.
I think that Montreal kind of is probably shored themselves up as second in the East. In the East. But I don't think it's been as kind of a flashy second is Austin. I feel like they've quietly, with not a lot of attention drawn to them, they've kind of played into that second role. And I think, you know, they are well and truly the second best team in the East.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And yeah.
Okay. Next up, I guess we can talk about another big result for the East with Cincinnati, Atlanta. Atlanta now is 13th in the East. They've kind of 13th in the East. They are just 4 points back from seventh, which just shows how compact. We talked about it last week, just how tight that Eastern Conference
facts,
is. Cincinnati with Brandon Vasquez, probably the MVP candidate, probably the sole MVP. They are ninth, really just back on goal differential from Miami. Do you think Atlanta has a chance to make the playoffs? Because I think that they are better than Miami. I think they're better than Orlando, but who are both holding down playoff spots at the moment. But do you think that Atlanta has a chance to make a playoff push?
I think they definitely have a chance. I feel bad for Atlanta. They've been shot with injuries this year. Anthony Robinson, one of their best players on the backyard. Brad Guzan got injured. Josef Martinez, who's been like a staple name in the league for like the past 3 or 4 years now and been one of the best players. He's been fighting some injuries and starting to kind of decline in his career. So I think Atlanta, this is probably one of their last years with Brooks Lennon also got injured. Like one of their last years with, I'd say, this like mainstay group. If you want to put it that way, I think that in the next few years they might be fighting a rebuild, kind of, with their some of their players getting older and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't personally see Atlanta making the playoffs. I think Toronto have a better chance than Atlanta making the playoffs at this point because of Insigne and all the players that they've brought in throughout the transfer window. And Toronto's improved dramatically after I don't know how many players at this point, but pretty much like doing a mid-season just like refresh, and it's worked for them. Mm-hmm. And I think Bob Bradley is going to lead Toronto to the playoffs. I think Toronto currently, at the beginning of the season, I would not have said this at all, but currently I think they're in better form than the likes of Orlando and Inter Miami. And I think that if anyone in the East at the bottom in those 12, 13, 14 spots is going to make it, or any of those teams staying on 20 nights, I think it'll be Toronto.
I think so. And Atlanta has a really rough run leading into the playoffs. They have 6 matches left, and 3 of them are New York, Columbus, or New York Red Bulls, Columbus away, and Philadelphia. And then their last match is hosting Toronto. But I think it is definitely an uphill battle. And I think I agree that Toronto is kind of, you know, taking a spot. I keep coming back to this after the Sounders beat Toronto. I couldn't understand why somebody would just watch that Toronto team because they were not good. But I think they've definitely gotten dramatically better. And I think that they have a real shot at the playoffs. I don't think that the 7 that are in the East right now are the 7 that are going to stay. I don't think Orlando. I don't think Miami. I don't think maybe necessarily Columbus is going to stay in there, because I think, you know, Cincinnati is going to get a run. I think Toronto might get a run at it. Charlotte, possibly. Atlanta, possibly. So I think that you'll kind of see some turnover. And I don't think New York will stay. I don't think the Red Bulls will stay in 4th. I think they might fall a little bit.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. East is actually both conferences, I guess, are pretty tight. But from about – but it goes LAFC in the West, LAFC Austin, well, LAFC a gap, Austin a gap, and then from 3rd place to 11th place is only separated by 9 points. So there could be a lot of mix-up within there. And then in the Eastern Conference, it's kind of just Philly and then a gap, and then Montreal and NYCFC are kind of a staple 2-3 spots. And then from New York Red Bulls all the way down to Atlanta, who's in 2nd to last place, it's only an 8-point gap. So I feel like it could really turn into a fight. And I feel like a lot of this is going to come down to decision day, as always, with the standings in the Eastern Conference.
Definitely. Now moving on to the West. LAFC, I think, has kind of staked their claim as probably
after a 5-0 win.
5-0 over Charlotte, who I think we could talk for a while about Charlotte. It's not going to happen today, maybe next week. They have a massive lead over Austin. Oh, I think Austin has played. I think the fact that Austin has worked their way into 2nd is really impressive.
I agree.
We knew they were solid side last year in their expansion season, but I think they have just gotten better and better over the course of this season.
Definitely.
Dallas has played in the 3rd, and I think if you look at the list of teams behind them, I think Dallas is kind of on 3rd, especially with kind of that duo of Paul Ariola and Jesus Ferreira. Minnesota is in 4th. I don't personally think they'll stay in 4th.
Yeah.
I think they might slide a little bit, but I don't think they'll drop out of the playoffs. Salt Lake is 1 point behind them in 5th. They had a big 2-1 win over Seattle on the weekend.
Let's go.
I didn't watch that match. I wasn't home. I haven't watched the highlights yet because I got home late last night. So I have kind of slacked there. But what I have seen, it was a match that Seattle controlled for the most part. Then when Raul Ruiz Diaz's goal was turned over, if that would have stayed, Seattle would have won.
Yeah,
based off momentum.
I agree. It was a game. I was kind of pissed that whole game. I ain't gonna lie, we should not have won that game. But It was a weird game, to say at least, because they were talking in RSL in the past three games before Seattle had conceded a goal within the first 15 minutes. And when we concede first, we have like a terrible record, right? It's like, that's when we start losing. And then goes Raul Ruiz Diaz hits it was a really good shot, actually. It was like bottom right corner, I believe. And it was like the 12th minute. I'm like, well, frick, here we go again. But then I was like, there's no chance that's offside. But then the ref goes, uses VR, goes through that whole system, talks, whatever. And it ended up being offsides by like the skin of your teeth or whatever. It was really close, but it was definitely offsides. And at that point, the 15-minute mark had passed. I was like, well, phew, I actually have a chance now that we haven't conceded in the first 15 minutes. But yeah, we ended up going to score. I forgot what minute it was. It was pretty quickly after that. We scored. Let me see. It wasn't long after.
I think it was around the 20th.
It was the 32nd minute. Cordova. We kind of control momentum. It's a long ball. It's an absolute beauty from Saverio. Curves right into the path of Cordova, making a run, right? And Cordova, I thought he was going to whiff the shot like he did versus San Jose. He whiffed it the first one, but bounced off Fry's like knee or something. He got it again and finished the second time. So luckily we scored that. And then we made it through the half and momentum finally changed. And Seattle has had the momentum. And then they got their goal in the 62nd minute. I was like, well, frick, here we go again. And then sure enough, 2 minutes later, we take the lead again. And game kind of fizzles out from there, except Seattle had in the last 5 minutes, they probably had like 20 chances that they should have scored, but you could just not get it on target.
Well, and that's something that I have definitely seen Seattle struggle with is we'll get desperate. We'll just cross random balls into the box.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
No intention of doing anything with them. Brian Spencer after the match said time is running out on the Seattle Sounders playoff bid. They are currently just 2 points outside of the Western Conference, or no, 1 point outside of Nashville for the seventh spot in the Western Conference. 33 points to 32. They are also the exact same margin outside of sixth from the Galaxy. I think though they are going to have to find a streak of form to make it. I'm kind of worried now. Like I think I've hit the point where I'm now starting to question what we're going to do.
Yeah, what's happening to Seattle?
And we definitely don't have the easiest run of games to finish. We play this weekend. No, not this weekend. The 19th. Is that Thursday?
Thursday? I don't know. Well,
Friday night we play. Oh, yeah. Today's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah, but Friday today I was just looking at LAFC. Placed on a Tuesday today.
And they played night against
DC. Oh, the best team in the league versus the worst.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Then we play Portland away. We play Orlando away. Houston at home. Austin at home. And Vancouver away to close out the regular season on September 17th. I think we could very easily get 5 wins from this. We could very easily get 6 losses from this. I think it is, these are all teams we can beat. We've shown that we can beat. I'm starting to get kind of worried about it. I think that it's going to be a very rough run. But I'm glad we don't have to play like LAFC.
Yeah.
Or Philly or any teams like that.
For Real Salt Lake, well, first of all, I feel like it's weird that there's a game on a Tuesday. But anyways, Tuesdays are our most boring day in sports usually, so I'm fine with it. But anyways, I'm going to quickly recap. What?
There's always baseball on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but is baseball really entertaining? Baseball
day. Yes, I watched baseball last night. I watch baseball most every night. Fair enough. It was highly entertaining last night when the Mariners were playing the Angels, and the Angels decided to play defense like they were 5. It was hilarious. And then last week when we played the Yankees could not figure out how to run the bases. That was hilarious. That was entertaining. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I don't really watch baseball, but I did see something. It was like, is this the first year that the Mariners make the playoffs and the Sounders don't?
It would be, because in the entire, like, the Mariners have not made the playoffs in 20 years.
Jeez.
And since 2001. And the Sounders have made every year, have made the playoffs every year in their history. So, I mean, I guess it would be a lie, like a life for a life.
But yeah.
Also, like, can the Sounders at least just finish seventh? Like, just finish strong, finish seventh, so we keep the streak going. I don't care what you do in the playoffs, because we won TCL, and we can hold that over literally everybody's head for the rest of forever.
Fair enough.
But also, I would like to make the playoffs. This has been, it's been a painful run.
Yeah, yeah. Fair. Anyways, I'm gonna really quickly go over Real Salt Lake schedule, because it's, we have Vancouver at home this weekend, but after that, it's Dallas, Minnesota, LAFC, DC, Austin, Cincinnati, LA Galaxy, and then Portland. So our last 10 games, other than like DC and Vancouver, they're going to be an absolute piece of crap to play in. But I feel like we can come out with results, right? Especially when we're playing at LAFC on a Sunday, which we're historically bad at playing on Sundays.
The irony is thick.
Yeah. So hopefully we can beat LAFC. We've gone there before and beat them, so hopefully it happens again. But it's very unlikely. But if we can take points from Dallas, Minnesota, and Austin, I'd be happy.
I think so. And definitely, I mean, they have 4 points in the rest of on the playoff bubble. So, you know, they could easily get third. They could easily get seven. And that's, I mean, it's really just that close.
Yeah, that's so true.
Alrighty. Moving on, switching gears, unless you have anything else on the MLS front.
I have nothing else on the MLS, except one thing. We're going to talk about this a little later, but I just wanted to just throw this out there. You don't have to comment it on or anything, but I feel like it's kind of sad when the MLS jerseys, every single one of them is better than the U.S. men's national team concept kit. But anyways, we'll talk about, or the league kit, but we'll talk about that later.
We can dig into that now.
Okay.
The MLS, or not the MLS, the U.S. men's national team World Cup kit dropped. No, didn't drop. It leaked, which it leaked a couple of months ago, or at least like the basic colors of it leaked. And it was, it was rough. Do you remember that? When it was like white and then this like kind of bright, lighter blue. And that was all we had. And then somebody created like a basic concept off of that, where it was basically just two shirts with those colors. Do you remember that? Like 4 months ago. And it was just a white t-shirt and just like this one blue t-shirt.
That was disgusting.
And called that. And everybody was like, then, no, that's literally, they just made shirts with the colors.
Yeah.
With the Nike template. And then I think the kits that leaked this past weekend are the, I think there's a good chance that they are actually the kits. Like, I think that they,
yeah. They're just hideous. I mean, okay. They're just hideous. Whoever designed them, how do you make them that bad? I don't understand how they're just like, it's just a blue shirt with some little splatters on it. It's just so plain. And I also hate when the logo's in the middle. That is, I just hate that. It's just not a soccer jersey at that point. I don't know.
So the white shirt isn't even,
there's no red on anything pretty much.
There is. There's
a little bit, tiny bit.
It's bad. I don't like the template. First of all, I'm not the biggest fan of this Nike template.
Yeah.
Second of all, the way it's been used in the U.S. kit, the U.S. home kit, the white kit in this case, just shirt. We don't have the whole kit, just the shirt, is rough. Like, it's it not a terrible. Good. And the away kit, the away shirt, there's a difference, is basically just the Leeds away shirt from last year.
Yeah,
it's the exact same thing. It's a shot for shot remake, except one was made by Nike and one was made by Adidas. And one we've seen in like the Premier League and the FA Cup, and the other one's on the World Cup. Here's the deal. So, one more thing. it will be from looks. What I've seen. Yeah, see, that's actually like a good use of stuff.
This is a good kit.
Yeah. So the badge, like the U.S. crest, that will be in the center, but the Nike swooshes, those will be on each sleeve, like a football shirt. Like a football shirt. Yes.
Wait, is that like confirmed?
Pretty much. From what I've seen, it is very possible. So instead of it being on the front, it will be on the sleeves like a football jersey. Like, you know how in the NFL they write on, on either sleeve?
Here, let me grab my Denver Broncos jersey. It's just going to be like an NFL jersey, like with the Nikes on this side.
Yes. But there's not going to be the TV numbers on the shoulders, but yes.
Yeah, I got you.
The more I look at it, like, the more I'm, they're not, I don't hate them.
I don't
have a passionate hate for them. I don't like them, and I know there are better options because I have seen many concepts. But like, if the home shirt could get rid of that like blue little spot under the collar, then it would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
I'm trying to pull it up right now and see a picture of it.
And the blue one looks like a training shirt. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, it looks like. It looks like a training shirt.
Let me find it. Yeah, it's so. I scrolled all the way up to our Manchester United stuff, but where is it? I can't find it. Did they make him delete it?
No, I'm looking at an article with it right now.
Oh,
are you saying that USMNT only maybe deleted it?
Yeah, it's not up anymore. They must have deleted. Okay, that's also interesting that they probably were forced to delete it because they deleted it off Twitter too. I saw this. Look at this concept kit. The Waldo.
See, there are so many different concept kits that are miles better. Like, just bring back a shot-for-shot remake of the Bomb Pops. Nobody will care, and people will buy them up like they're hotcakes.
Yeah.
Get your money. Like,
yeah. You also like say just look at Argentina's jerseys. You know, it's the white and blue stripes. That's Argentina. That's like, you know, that's them, right? U.S. mm-hmm. needs something like that instead of all this random. The Brazil, just the yellow and the blue collar
and blue shorts.
Yeah, exactly. That's iconic, right? Even the Germany, like the
Germany, the white and the black.
Yeah.
England, the white and the blue shorts. You know, Mexico, even traditionally the green with the white shorts. The U.S. is kind of, I think they can, you know, have the white with the blue shorts like England does, but there's a lack of consistency in the kits. And also, Nike can do so much better. Like, the fact that they put all of their effort into the Nigeria kit for a team that didn't even make the World Cup, and now all of the rest of their kits are like just funky garbage, basically. Like, the Brazil kit is at least different. It's at least new. Like,
exactly. The Brazil kit, it's Nike.
I don't necessarily like their away, but at least it's like, it's not being seen before. Like, Leeds has done this. I guess if you watch a lot of Leeds matches, you'll get used to the blue tie dye.
You know,
because their away kit's the same thing.
You want to know what the U.S. Men's National Team kit reminds me of, the concept? Okay, so my friend Madden gave me this Arsenal jersey, right? It's it's a 2008-2009 pre-match top.
Why did Madden have an Arsenal shirt?
I don't know. His brother gave it or something. But this is what it looks ugly. I mean, I still wear it to like bed and stuff, but yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. But that's what it looks like, especially with like on the white jersey, like with the part in the middle, like that blue strip right there. It's just awkward. I don't know. I feel like these aren't very good pictures either, but the blue one I don't hate as much as I hate the white one, I think.
I think I might just wait until they put the current aways on like clearance, and then I will buy one of those
for real. Because the jerseys now are I love the jerseys now. The red and blue, right? With the lines,
the red and blue is at least unique and different.
And like, the home kit is awesome, like with like the zigzag down the side. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
that's just the Nike template, and at least that Nike template's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's just rough. It looks uncomfortable to wear.
I bet it's fine. I mean, it doesn't look great, but I bet it's okay.
Yeah. Okay. The teasing. Wait. It used to be this. This was the teasing, and this is almost better.
See, I would much rather wear the tie dye one than the teaser. You think? Personally, I mean, I'm never gonna buy a white kit, so I don't really care what that looks like. But
yeah, oh, no, bro, it's bad.
I've never said it's good.
I don't like
it. It's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, that's true. It could have been way worse when it was just the plain blue and plain white. That was terrible. But it's at least we can say it's somewhat unique-ish. But like, look what Nike did to Brazil. Like, their kit is amazing. I love their kit.
Both of them are like at least something different. Yeah. Even like, I loved the and the main reason I know this is because, you know, FIFA 18, the World Cup mode. But the shirt that they would have worn for the 2018 World Cup, both of those, have you seen both of those? Those are like, those are cool. I'll send you a picture. Both of those are like pretty cool. Like, I like both of them. They're the ones, just search up the 2018 USMNT shirt.
Yeah. Okay, I will. But also, did you see on both the post of those, Weston McKinney commented saying, I tried to tell him. That's what, like...
Yeah. Him and Tim Weah apparently have been very vocal on the front that they should not... These should not be the kids. And yet, here we are.
Wait, was it the one with, like, the stripes on the sides?
Yeah. Like, those are cool.
Like, these ones?
My personal opinion? Yes. Those are cool.
I love those.
But apparently now we just have to wear... They're both really... Anyway.
Plain.
Okay, moving on to more important things. Not necessarily. Like, I would say it's somewhat important that you have to have a good shirt. The World Cup,
I think it's important. Yeah, I think exactly. It's somewhat
important.
Nike can do us so much better.
Kind of get us dirty, don't they?
Yeah.
At least, like, we're the U.S. Like, do like you do Oregon. Because
Look at Oregon. Like, yeah, bro.
Do something fun. Do something unique. At least if it's like unique and outlandish and kind of ugly, then at least it's like
out there.
At least it's out there, and at least it's not the same thing you could have done for any other team.
For real, bro, it's bad.
Moving on to USMNT abroad. Go skip across the pond. Malik Tillman is having himself a heck of a run over in Scotland. I forgot what the name of the country was. over in Scotland for Spain. Or no, good Lord. Okay.
He's at Rangers.
The Rangers. Correct. Yes. He's not at Spain. He's not in the country of Spain. He's never played in Spain.
Yes.
He is playing for Rangers. He has played 3 matches in the Scottish Premiership, 2 starts. He has a goal. He has
2 goals.
He has 1 goal in league play.
And 1 goal in the Champions League.
In the Champions League preliminary qualifying stuff. Both of which have been, I think, both of which were headers. Both of which were pretty epic headers, according to the internet.
Yep.
Not that I have enough time to watch a lot of Rangers matches. he's been really good. Like, I think he has been very good. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be able to fit into the plane to Qatar, but he has been solid.
Yeah, I agree. Rangers fans are loving him too, and they've even, like, outside of the stadium, they had this thing where it's like, you know, the ball's hanging out from his head, and you try to, like, jump as high as he did, stuff like that. So Rangers fans are welcoming him in. Where's he on loan from? That's my thing. Is he on loan from
Bayern?
Bayern. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. He was not getting
because he wasn't going to get playing time, and he committed there from. I mean, he was U.S. German dual.
Yeah. You're right.
And
you're right.
He has played, I believe, somewhat with the German national team.
But yeah, he's played with both
in March.
U.S.
He played 2 years with Bayern Munich's like reserve team in the third tier of German soccer. He only played a total of 10 matches in both of those seasons, with 5 goals in 10 matches. And then he played in four Bundesliga matches last season. But not really, I mean, playing in 4 matches, only a total of 104 minutes. So he just wasn't going to get playing time. But, you know, he's been getting solid playing time at Rangers. He has 2 starts in his 3 matches. He already has played more minutes in for Rangers in their 3 premiership matches than he has in the entirety of the season for Bayern last year. He has kind of played his role into a starter in midfield over with James Sands, who also is a U.S. national at Rangers. So there you go. I think he might, you know, be kind of a reserve on the plane to Qatar, but I think more his role will be post 2022 World Cup.
I agree. I think he'll be a big part of the future, but just not quite yet.
I think we're in a much different spot though with the national team than we were like 2018. Most people were leaving and there were going to be spots open. And so now we've like seen like Tyler Adams wasn't a part of that camp. Nobody.
Yeah, in the midfield besides Pulisic
was a part of that camp. Nobody on the team besides Pulisic and John Brooks, who we will talk about in just a moment.
Oh man.
Nobody besides those two had any part in US national team camps or World Cup runs before. I mean, I guess Jordan Morris kind of did a little bit, you know, post the 2018 World
Cup. I think a little bit of Kellen Acosta. I'm right.
Like a little bit of Kellen Acosta, but really beyond that, like spots have just the entire starting 11, the entire roster has just opened up. That isn't like when we talk about Malik Tillman being a part of it post 2022 World Cup, like he's going to have to fight for a spot because there's not really anybody in the starting 11 that's going to be leaving or just completely out of it by 2026. Like I feel like we
can for sure.
With pretty much the same starting 11 in 2026.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And, what was I going to say? I had something on the tip of my tongue, but I totally forgot. Oh. No. Just move on. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, good job. Brendan Aaronson, another young American player that has moved into a position at a side on the British Isles. He played, of course, with Tyler Adams this past weekend. He played 90 minutes. There were actually 4 U.S. players who played all 90 in matches on Saturday in the Premier League. Tyler Adams, Brendan Aaronson, Anthony Robinson, Tim Ream, and that's it.
Sick.
Tyler Adams played all 90. Brendan Aaronson played all 90. All 4 of them played all 90. Aaronson took 2 shots.
Jesse Marsh played all.
Threw 3 fouls. Beyond that, there was not much. He did not have any interceptions.
Aaronson?
Yeah. Correct. Adams did.
Adams.
Leeds 2-2 against Southampton.
They should have won that game. They blew the lead late. I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights, but I was following it.
But I was following it.
Fun fact, I actually bought a Leeds jersey like a few days ago.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
It wasn't working, but I want to. But Aaronson appears to, just like Malik Tillman, possibly more so, already be completely loved by fans at Leeds. He's playing into a fantastic role. I think he's playing, you know, up to the potential that he was brought into play towards. I think that he really, I think he has kind of worked his way certainly certainly in the June camp, I think he worked his way into the starting 11 conversation.
Yeah, I think he's on the plane for sure.
But I think now he's kind of, you know, just piling things on as to why he should be a part of that conversation.
Yeah, look, I was brought up my roster that for our roster predictions that we did back like a month or two ago, and Aaronson was not in the starting 11 for me, but now with how he's been playing, he might move up there.
I mean, the problem I keep coming back to is there's not really room for him.
Exactly.
Like, I would not have him in there over Reyna, but Reyna really isn't right now. Like if the World Cup was tomorrow, he's not going to be starting. He'll be getting minutes.
Yeah, he's not quite fit.
But he's not quite fit yet. So he's not quite there and ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. So
then Aaronson, I think, would just take a spot. I almost think, and we've talked about that, I think you play them as like, you could play with both of them and play one as kind of a nine and one as a, I mean, that's a conversation for another day.
But yeah. Yeah, for sure. I it's still up for grabs debate, whatever you want to call it. But I think that the players in Europe have been like showing themselves out and trying to prove to Berhalter that they deserve to be on that plane. And yeah,
definitely. Reyna so far has not played any of the first two Bundesliga matches. I think he did get, I want to say,
I feel like he got some minutes somewhere.
He's gotten some minutes in friendlies and stuff.
Yeah.
Why are you not working? He got some minutes in their DFB Pokal match. It's deciding to have a moment. but he's not fully ready yet. I think there's certainly a spot for him if he wants it.
Yeah, for real.
Like, I don't think it's an interesting position, I think, for him to be in at Dortmund. But I think he could probably take that spot from Marco Reus.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Matt Turner still lacking minutes at Arsenal. I don't think
surprise.
Anything at all. They did get rid of Bern Leno, who is I personally thought was his number one competition.
Oh. Do you think he'll get starting jobs by the end of the season?
Well, I thought so. They have Aaron Ramsdale or whatever his last name is.
Yeah.
And he's like their number one. But I thought Bern Leno would be their number two, and then Matt Turner would probably be their number three. But then with Leno leaving, I thought then you would have a good shot at having Turner. Turner being the number two then, and that's not really, I think he's played some, but he's not really playing league matches.
Yeah, he probably won't play league matches, but other small tournaments.
He'll probably play like FA Cup. He'll probably play Carabao Cup. I mean, they're not short for different competitions and matches for him to be involved in.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, but the most important thing I think is he gets playing time, because I feel like that's important for keepers. It's just have that repetition.
I think that's been the main problem that Stefan had. It's just a complete lack of playing time.
Yeah, I know he's at Middlesbrough.
He's at Middlesbrough, but he played this past weekend. He allowed two goals, two more goals, which I think brings his total to quite a few on the season.
Yeah,
I think five, six, one.
It's only two games in.
In his first three matches. Which is not ideal if he's going to be playing for that one spot. I personally don't think I think he's kind of lost out on his opportunity to be starter.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
I stand by the fact that I don't think he should be on the plane. I think you could find a better next two options. I think you throw Stefan Fry on that plane. I think you throw probably Ethan Horvath.
Sean Johnson,
you know, you can come up with a list who I think personally would be ahead of him. You know, finish their own, maybe not. I know that, you know, might be why I'm not Greg, but personally, don't think he he would really be it's worth taking him. Hot take of mine.
Fair enough, fair enough. We'll talk about more keepers another week, probably as we get closer to the U.S. Men's National Team playing in their friendlies, like which they just scheduled one against Japan. I was just looking. It's
September Friday. It's a Friday morning, like September 13th or something.
September 23rd at 4 a.m. At 4 a.m. our time. Ew.
It was like 9.
Yeah. Thought Mob says 4. Hopefully it changes.
I think the release was like, it's a Friday morning at like, oh, well, it might have been 9 Eastern, which would make it 7. Okay, just 7. Let me.
Yeah, something like that.
It is, when you search the USMNT, the first thing that comes up is the kids.
The kid. Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
Articles on how.
Why don't you have like Jordan Brand sponsor them? That'd be sick. Like they do PSG.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I feel like that'd be not a bad idea. No, that's right. It's at Dusseldorf Arena in Dusseldorf, Germany on ESPN2 and ESPN+, September 23rd at 6:25 a.m.
Okay.
And then the 27th is at noon.
Against who?
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sick. I will try to watch those, I guess. We'll be in school.
Well, that's disappointing.
Hey, but we have broadcasting. We don't do anything first period. So, anyways.
There you go. Okay. Moving on to... There's a guy in Sweden named Forrest Lasso. Dope name.
Like Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso. West McGinney started in the first match of the year for Juventus in Serie A. He played 75 minutes. He didn't really have anything remarkable. Like, he really didn't do anything. Like, there's no stats.
But he played.
He played 75 minutes. He started, which is a big thing for a couple of different reasons. Number one being the fact that he has been injured. Wasn't this past time a shoulder? I know he had his toe last spring. He had a shoulder this fall, or this summer. So it's good to see him back in the lineup. I think he is, you know, certainly a starting 11 for the U.S. national team in Qatar, but still really good nonetheless. Chris Richards also made his debut for Crystal Palace in their 1-1 draw with Liverpool. 12 minutes, he saw one shot, not really anything else remarkable. He intercepted a pass, apparently. But good to see playing time for him. I think he'll probably end up being on the plane, but I don't necessarily think he'll get playing time.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. He'll be like a stand, maybe come off the bench, maybe. But I don't think he's going to be a starter by any means.
Yeah, I don't think so. And then I guess we could talk about the best player. One more thing. Yunus Musa and Haji Wright both started. Yunus Musa in La Liga. He played all 90. He didn't really do much. Haji Wright also played. Haji Wright also played. He played 75 minutes in a match with two teams I cannot pronounce. In the Turkish Super League.
Yep.
And then I guess that kind of leads us into Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
In Chelsea's match against Tottenham, 2-2 draw, that was feisty in all sorts of ways. He did not start. He played 7 minutes and did not do much in his 7 minutes, where he really made a cameo appearance in a match where Chelsea does not have an interesting forward situation.
Yeah.
Because they have wingers up. They have so many wingers.
For real.
They have Kai Havertz. They have Mason Mount. They have Christian Pulisic. Got dozens of them. Tons of them. They do not have a number 9, as has been made perfectly clear. I think, though, Pulisic, personally, for me, you look at the stats, you look at how he plays, I think Christian Pulisic's the best option out of the three guys I just named, but yeah, he is not getting any playing time.
I agree.
He is getting less playing time than I am. And he needs to be at a place where he can get some playing time, first of all. It's, you know, kind of a major thing. And second of all, he needs to be at a place where he can really play in his preferred position, because he's too good of a player to be thrown in at left wing back half the time. He's too good of a player to be thrown in and playing in the midfield most of the time. I mean, he's played for Thomas Tuchel in the past at Dortmund. He played well under Thomas Tuchel, yet now he's just getting no playing time. And yeah, so it's rumored that he could possibly be moving to Newcastle. Personally, I don't really want him to go to Newcastle. It's just a personal thing I have with Newcastle because of the Saudi. But I think anywhere, he would be playing in a starring role at Newcastle.
Yeah.
He is not playing in any sort. I think Newcastle is going to stay up too. He's not going to be playing in any sort of role at Chelsea, it appears.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's almost better that he's not playing because he, for how injury prone he is, that's like, there's, okay, I see it two ways. You can look at it from like injury side and the playing side. For the injury side, you don't want him to play. Some people want him locked up, bundled up, off the field at all points so he can be fully healthy for what's time to go in November, right? And like, they're happy that he's not getting much playing time, but others are thinking he needs playing time so he can stay fresh and his touch can stay clean, and yeah, and that experience and that aggression that you don't get during training that you will get during matches, you need that going into the World Cup. So it's kind of like this dilemma that I have in my head between, would I rather him just be locked up and take no risks of injury, but take a risk of having him not play as well, or have him play a lot of minutes at some other club and have a risk of injury, but he'll be fresh and but ready for the World Cup, but then, or there's the risk of injury where he won't play at all. So that's kind of like the dilemma I have in my head.
He's too good of a player to just sit on the bench.
I agree with that.
Even in a place like Chelsea, like I think more of the problem I have is, and I realize there's sort of, you know, a Homer view on this, but he's too good of a player just to sit on the bench, especially when he has shown that he is better at creating chances. He's like Chelsea's second best attacker last year, according to the numbers. And he can give you something that I don't think Mason Mount and Kai Havertz have shown they can necessarily give. They have both struggled to create goals, and that's something that Pulisic can do quite well. It's just pull random goals out of thin air. And I think he needs, I don't necessarily have the dilemma of, you know, he should sit on the bench or because he'll get injured, or he should get lots of playing time because he'll rot away. I think it's just irritating to see him, you know, a player who should be personally, I think, getting tons of minutes at Chelsea, just sitting there. I don't know if it's the fact that Thomas Tuchel has a personal vendetta against him. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you he should be playing more minutes than he is.
I definitely agree with that. I think he should be getting more playing time. It's just, are we happy that he's not getting playing time? I agree that he should be, and I know he's a good player, but is it better that he's not for the injury aspect, or would you rather him just get the minutes?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, well, he's not going to get injured sitting on the bench, I guess, is one way to look at it. But also, like, it's not good for him to be sitting around. He's not quite to his prime yet, but, you know, he's not far from it. And he's at a point in his career where he's just needing minutes. And
I agree.
He's not to the point where he can just sit on the bench and then just, you know, walk out and score three goals. I think he needs playing time. I don't think there's any way around that. I think he needs playing time, and I think he deserves it at a club like that. You know, Mason Mount and Kai Havertz have struggled to do anything. Why don't you give Pulisic a shot? I don't know if it's the Tuchel's waiting for their different, you know, cup and tournament other competition opportunities to come. Like, maybe he'll get more chances in the Champions League. Maybe he'll get more chances in the FA and care about cups. Maybe it's something like that. But I think at some point he has to be given an opportunity
in
the Premier League, and just making random cameo appearances in matches where they're struggling and where their other two wingers like Kai Havertz, Mason Mount are not able to do anything is not helpful.
Yeah.
I think that's more what it is he does. I don't necessarily care about like form. Well, I do care about form and stuff, but that's not, you know, where I'm, why I'm not so happy about this. It's more that, you know, I think he on this team deserves to be getting playing time.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I don't think it would be the worst thing if he moves and gets more playing time to a smaller club, but another move I want to talk about real quick was Sergiño Dest is rumored to move from Barcelona to Manchester United. What are your thoughts on that?
We talked extensively about Barcelona last week, and Sergiño Dest was not mentioned. We didn't really mention any players in particular. Yeah. We just kind of mentioned the club as a whole. The more I've read about it, the more I've seen, and I don't think Barcelona is a place anybody should be right now. It seems like it is a very toxic environment.
But so is Man U.
To be honest, not unlike Manchester United. I think that he'll get playing time at either place. Like, I don't think I'm worried about that.
I agree.
I don't think that he necessarily needs to be at Barcelona because, you know, I think he'll get playing time either
way. Yeah, for sure.
And I think the level of toxicity is different. The type of toxicity is different at both places. I think there is actually like some substance and some actually camaraderie in the locker room, in the dressing room at Barcelona, whereas that is non-existent in Manchester United.
Exactly.
But the way Barcelona dealt with the Luke de Jong or Frankie de Jong situation, really just this whole thing, I don't think Barcelona is the place he should be. There have also been rumors that Weston McKennie is going to possibly move from Juventus to Manchester United. I think both of those, from a Manchester United point of view, I think those are both good moves.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for both players, I don't necessarily think those are bad moves.
Yeah.
But I think if I was Weston, you've got a good chance at winning trophies at Juventus. Like, if that's what you want to do, you're going to get playing time either place. You're probably going to start matches at either place. If you want to win trophies, stay at Juve. If you don't, really, if that's not really
if you want the bigger name club,
if that's not what you care about week in, week out, then yeah, you can go to United.
I don't want to.
I don't think any of the three clubs are probably the best places to be as a player. Like, I don't think they're probably the most non-toxic environments.
Yeah, I think Juventus is the best out of all of those.
I think possibly, but I also don't think it's a great, like, I don't think it's a great environment. I think there's some things, like, neither of us are really at all experts on Serie A. I think we can both say neither of us really pay any attention to Serie A. But I think there are some things at Juve that makes them like the Manchester United of Italy, and not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for both players though, it's kind of sixes either way. Like, I don't think it really is a huge deal if they move. But I think they'll get playing time either place.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I think I don't know where I stand because I feel like, I honestly don't know. I feel like either way we'll be fine because they'll get plenty of time and that's what matters.
I think so. I guess speaking of Manchester United, on the weekend, 4-0 loss to Brighton. Brentford at home, away at Brentford. Both of us were watching this game live. Both of us were texting back and forth for the extent of this match for the most part. I watched about 70 minutes of it. Did you watch all 90?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
It didn't get better, did it?
No. I mean, the defense got a tiny bit better because Brentford didn't score, but they also backed off a lot.
I also don't think Brentford really cared in the second half. They were up 4-0 after 35 minutes. What were they going to do about it? Were they going to it didn't matter if they netted five more. They were still going to win. It didn't matter if they allowed Manchester United to get two random goals. They were still going to win. I don't think there's any chance that United, if after the first 10 minutes, he's going to win that match.
Exactly. That was like, I don't even know how to describe it. I was just watching that game. I was just dumbfounded. It was insane how bad Manchester United was as a team. Like, you would see passes, and then a pass would not be a good pass, or it would be a good pass, but the player wouldn't run onto it and then, like, complain. Like, this goes for, like, everybody. It was bad.
It's not just one player.
Exactly. It's the whole team.
It's the whole environment. It's the whole culture. And, I mean, David De Gea had a stinker.
He
had such a bad match. And I almost, it was not good.
My brother, as a keeper, felt bad for him. But it was also his own fault.
Erik ten Hag. And Erik ten Hag just sat there for the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I saw something on, I think it was, I don't know where it was, that, you know, what are you going to, if you're Erik ten Hag, what can you possibly say to make the situation better at halftime? I would have just stayed in my seat. Like, you saw no movement, no emotion from him. The NBC feed kept going back to him after every goal and after every, like, moment. And there was no change in emotion ever. He looked the exact same. He just, I could not help but laugh the entire time. It was such a ridiculous conclusion. Huh. And I think
it was bad.
I'm carving out time on Monday. We start school on Tuesday, but Monday afternoon, I am carving out time to watch them play Liverpool.
I forgot they're
playing. They play Liverpool at Old Trafford Monday afternoon. I think it's at like 1. Like USA. Like, it's available to watch for both of us. Like, I am carving out time, and I am sitting down and watching that match.
Because Liverpool hasn't had a great start either, to be fair.
No, but...
But they at least competed and looked,
do you know,
and dangerous.
I call myself a somewhat Manchester United fan.
That's like, where I'm at, yeah.
I kind of... For the entertainment value, I kind of want to sit down and watch all 90 minutes. And I want to see them...
Get destroyed.
Get pummeled. I want to see United lose, like, 10-0. And I want to see the stands. Like, I typically will root for chaos in sporting events.
Yeah, same. My own team,
just for the entertainment value. But this is, it's almost like
funny.
Sad.
It's funny. Funny.
It's sad. It's
I don't even know how to what it is. They're staying dead last in the Premier League right now.
I was like, just dumbfounded. There was nothing. I was angry. Because, you know, my team's losing, but there is nothing I could do but sit on that couch and laugh. After every goal, I chuckled because of the ridiculousness of this situation at hand.
Facts.
Right now, actually, I'm going to go to 538 and see what their predictions are right now, because I'm willing to bet Leeds has a much higher chance at finishing both above the relegation zone and finishing in the Champions League than United has at either of those two things.
Really?
Like, I'm willing to bet 538 has, like, punched this out and has put it as this.
That's funny.
I'm like, I don't know this for certain. Okay, no, not quite. Manchester United, they are saying they will finish in like 7th or 8th. 9th.
There's no way.
They are giving United a 9% chance right now to qualify for the UCL. They are also giving them an 8% chance to lose or to be relegated.
Okay, for real?
United is given a 9% chance to qualify for the UCL right now. Right now, Brighton has a 15% chance.
Oh my gosh.
Leeds is still given a 27% chance.
Of relegation?
22% chance to get relegated.
There ain't no way.
Don't agree with that.
Ain't no way.
But I just, it's comical to sit here and watch. Like,
yeah, it is.
Bizarreness of the situation. And I guess.
Imagine what happens if Man U gets relegated. Like, is the world going to end?
That is personally a much, much, much bigger shock, and it will have much, much, much bigger implications than Leicester City's title ever will.
I will. I agree.
I think that is much, it's just a much bigger deal. I mean, Arsenal, they had the same, you know, two straight losses that everyone thought the world was ending last year. And they bounced back and finished fifth, right? Fifth.
Yeah.
I think this is different though. They at least showed some signs of quality, and I think their dressing room was at least intact. I don't think either of those two things are true for United.
How long do you think Ronaldo is at Man U? How much longer?
I think he's gone by the end of the month.
Yeah. Until like Atletico or something like that.
I don't know where he's going. But possibly a beach somewhere.
I have no Miami? Idea.
No idea. LAFC.
Oh, bro, I swear. I'd be so freaking pissed. Anyways.
I think, honestly, he would rather, I would personally rather be on a beach somewhere than having to stay at this team. Like,
yeah,
they are so outlandishly bad.
For real, bro.
So horrible.
It's bad. It's
it's comical to watch. And I don't see them right now. Okay, I'm going to break this down. We're going to go through the next five.
Okay.
Matches. And we are going to take some guesses on their points total after seven. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, at home against Liverpool.
I think they lose that.
I think so too. So 0 points.
Zero.
Three matches. Away.
Negative 10 goal differential.
I hope so. That'd be okay. Away against Southampton.
Here, I think they could maybe take 1 point from that.
Okay, so I agree. I think that'll be a draw. So one off of four, away against Leicester.
Leicester, they haven't been very good. They'll probably win that.
Okay.
So that's 4 points.
4 points off of five matches at home against Arsenal.
They'll lose that.
Bad L. I'm calling it bad L. So that's 4 points off six matches. At away against Crystal Palace.
They'll lose that. Didn't they already lose to Palace too?
Not yet.
No. They'll lose to Palace.
Okay. I agree. I think 4 points off seven matches is bad. And then I guess we can just go to the eighth match for fun. Oh, no. Eighth match at home against Leeds.
Ah, I hope that. Bro, I have to watch that game. I can't want them to lose.
September 18th at 7 a.m.
Okay, I'll be watching it. Is that a Saturday?
It's a Sunday morning.
I'll definitely be watching.
I'll definitely be watching. And then we
could record the podcast during that.
It's 7 in the morning. and then week 9 is away at City. That's another fat L.
So we are
really, realistically...
Like 5 points through nine matches.
I could see them having at most 5 points for nine matches, which... Hold up. If we do 5 divided by 9, they would have a pace of like half a point per match, which put them like far and away getting relegated.
Yeah.
Now, I think at some point they'll maybe pull it together.
Yeah. I think they'll finish. I think that realistically, right now, I think they'll finish 9th or 10th.
I don't know. Like, I think they could. I think they have the quality to. You look at how good this team is. The quality on this team is solid.
Yeah.
They play like dog crap, though.
Like, it's so bad.
Garbage. Like, I thought, like, I've watched, I would say, 90 total minutes out of their first one. And it just, it's not good.
Yeah. Not good soccer.
Not fun to watch. Alrighty, it's just, I'm out.
Yeah.
Things. I think we've pushed our limit. Oh, I guess we could, one other thing, just to close, just a little recap. Posted on the Instagram last night. Where is it? choose your five-a-side Premier League USMNT team. Team A. And I know your answer. I know my answer. We're still going to talk through it. Team A. Christian Pulisic, Landon Donovan, Tyler Adams, Tim Ream, and Tim Howard. Yes. That's a really good team. That's a really good five.
Yep.
That's an impressive five.
That is. to the GOAT now, then the GOAT then.
I know.
And Tim Howard.
Team B, Clint Dempsey, Claudio Reyna, Brendan Aaronson, Anthony Robinson, and Brad Friedel. That's a solid team as well.
That is a solid team. I thought you were going to say Brad Guzan, and that would absolutely kill the team.
Brad Guzan's not that bad. He's not that good, but he's
he had a stinker when he was playing for US, though.
That's true. And then Team C, which I think is far and away the worst team here, but it's still a really good team. Ryan McBride, John Hart, Roy Weggerly, Jeff Cameron, and Casey Keller.
That's still a really good team.
Stinker of a team. It's still a really good team, but in this context, it's a stinker of a team.
Yeah. I think A by far.
I think A by far. I think it's true. If you replace Tim Ream with Clint Dempsey, you would have no defense, but your attack would be like golden. Like, you could take it to City.
Tyler Adams could take 20 yellow cards, right?
I bet.
Yeah, that works. And you have Tim Howard in goal. Like, what the heck?
Absolutely. That team's goated. Like, even if you replace Tim Howard with Casey Keller, like, I feel like that team still is the best.
Yeah, for sure, bro. For sure.
Or even Brad Guzan. Like,
it's also crazy how many Americans have played for Fulham.
Well, even now, like, there's two. I think we are, if they had an American manager, even a third American, like, we should be calling them USFC.
Not like Leeds.
Not Leeds. Well, I mean, Leeds still, absolutely. But
yeah, for sure, for sure. That's a, yeah. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at 210_feet.
We'll be pumping out some content this week.
Yes, sir. Hopefully getting some reels out and stuff like that.
The XG of that Brentford match was, if you the shot base XG, it was 1.5 to 1.3 Brentford. So it really should not have been 4-0 in that match.
Yeah.
On the XG and based on the eye test, like if you base off the attacks that Brentford had, it should not have been 4-0. It may be like 2-0.
For real.
It was just a couple of mistakes that really made it a stinker for United.
Exactly. Yeah, alrighty. We think that will do it for us today.
I think that'll do it for episode 6 of the 210 Feet Podcast. We'll be back probably next week.
We should be, yeah.
I think we should be back next week. Maybe we can do it. That's what we should do it. Do you have anything at like 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon? We
can
do it during the United
Liverpool match. I don't think I have practice.
During the United Liverpool match. Maybe we will record a fantastic, beautiful little pod.
That sounds good to me.
Thank you to everyone, all 10 of you, for listening.
See ya.